Baseball is high. It is far. It is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Nosebleeds. I am your host, Derek Boyer, joined by Henry Wolf and Ethan Bess. And before we dive into the beginning of this MLB season, we're about a month through. How are we doing today, guys?
I'm doing well. How about you? How about yourself?
I just had my interview for assistant sports manager, so hopefully that went well for next year. Thank
get
you. Thank
Derek
you.
On the
looking,
staff.
Looking to try and move up in the world. We're seeing what happens. I got an internship as well for the summer, doing play-by-play for a semi-professional soccer league in New York. So
that must be cool.
What team is that?
It's the Central Park Rangers. They have a lot of different teams. They're semi-professional in different areas in New York. So Central they've got Park a game Saturday, Rangers. So I'll have my debut.
There you go.
It's in Jersey, though, so I got to go.
Sorry, did you say you're doing play-by-play?
Yeah. So I've done a couple soccer games for Fordham, but nothing like professional or anything.
Congrats, dude. Like, I was watching soccer over the weekend. I don't know if you guys watched Bayern Munich play.
No,
PSG.
Can't say I
absolutely
do.
Electric game. I'm a big Bayern fan. But if any tips coming from a non-soccer broadcaster, what I notice those pros doing, it sounds a lot like golf sometimes. You
really?
Really
oh, big
just
got to
sit back and be like, say their last names when they're passing the ball. Is it televised?
Yeah.
So just, you know, let the viewer enjoy it, and you're just that nice voice in their ear, and then, you know, big things are happening, and you it's like it's that spectrum of golf to basketball. That's what it feels like.
I appreciate that.
Fair enough.
Well, how about you, Henry? How you doing? Hey,
I'm doing. I'm doing good. I wanted my first exam yesterday, and I've got 3 Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But the good news is I'm leaving Wednesday.
Oh, there you
so
go.
So I'm out of here super early. It's just a matter of studying this schoolwork, getting everything locked down. I'm not worried. I'm worried more about next year.
He's studious. But I've got 1 Monday, 2 Wednesday, 1 Thursday, and then 1 the next Monday. So I can't get out of here. I can't get out of here for a while. And it's. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I was started packing.
I haven't started.
I've started packing.
When are you out of here, Bess?
I'm out of here May 11th. That is the day of my last exam.
Dang. I'm probably out of here. Well, I might stay
so
in the city for
need
a little
to pack
longer.
Yet. You're packing for the love of the game.
Exactly.
Right. Well, we're gonna dive into this season. We're about a month through. We're at the end of April now, so we're heading into May, which is when we really get in the down and dirty. So obviously, in New York, we're gonna be talking the Yanks, who've been playing well over their last couple series. They just went, I believe, 7-2 on their road trip. They ended the road trip with a series victory over the Rangers, although they lost the last game of that season, but a good debut for the Yankees. The Mets on the other side of the spectrum, not playing super well for them. Mason Miller, Cy Young candidate out of the NL, first reliever that might win it in quite a while, although he disallowed his first runs recently to the Cubs in a strange play that we'll get into. I also want to discuss the Braves a little bit, just although I'm not a huge Braves fan. I'm from South Carolina, so they're nearby, but I just don't like the Braves. But
why
we'll talk about
that?
Them. Yankees stuff, South Carolina stuff. Everyone's a Braves fan down there. It's not fun.
If Carolina gets a expansion team, would you?
I think the Tampa Bay Rays should have moved to Charlotte. I think they should have become the Charlotte Rays or something North Carolina, because Charlotte's a pretty good market.
We should talk about that. I wonder what Charlotte's team name would be, but I was gonna ask you if you'd hop off the Yankees bandwagon,
if any team went to Charlotte.
Yeah.
I think I'd find it much easier if that team was in the National League, because then I could have an American League team and a National League team. It'd
Fair
be
enough.
Kind of like a I would still be a Yankees fan through and through, but I would have like a second team to root for.
All right, yeah.
Like after 2016, I was a quote unquote Cubs fan just because they were cool and I was like 9, but. And then I got off that very quickly after they started sucking again. But
oh, that World Series win was amazing.
I mean, it was electric. It's like the best World Series ever.
Brian makes the play.
Recent
exactly.
Santa Maria.
So, and then I asked all you guys to pick a team that you guys thought exceeded or underperformed their expectations so far about a month through. And then just for fun, I have Ben Rice's baseball savant page. But we can discuss the Yankees first. I'm a big Yankee fan, so we can start there. I know we got a Mets fan and an Orioles fan for some reason in here, but which the Yankees, their next series actually begins tomorrow against the Orioles, so that'll be interesting. But the Yankees, they just finished a big road stand. They swept in Fenway. Then they dominated the Astros in two games, then lost the last one by Luis Gil being pretty bad, and then he got himself sent down, and then won the series against the Rangers as well. But right before that, they really weren't playing well. They lost five in a row, two to the A's, and then got swept in Tampa, then split four against the Angels, but then the classic Yankee move of playing well against AL Central teams comes through. They sweep the Royals in pretty dominant fashion, and then they just have this dominant road stand, and I mean, they've been playing much different baseball. Their pitching has been very consistent over the whole season, but the hitting is really what came through in the road stand.
Yeah, and I don't like to give awards to the Yankees ever, but
Y'all are in the same division, so I get it.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to shout out Schlittler here.
Absolutely.
He's on a hot streak, 151 ERA over seven games right now. And how many innings pitched?
Wait, did you say 151?
151 ERA over 41 and two-thirds innings pitched.
Jesus.
This guy's scary. I don't really want him to face the Orioles in the next the four-game series that's coming up this weekend.
I think you might have to. Or no, because Schlittler pitched...
Did he pitch the last game?
He pitched not the last game, but the game before that. So I think you just miss him.
And with Heel being down, you guys are back to a five man.
No, we brought up Rodriguez to.
Oh,
is that it? I for some reason I'm blanking out his name.
Not Eduardo Rodriguez. He's on the Diamondbacks.
But yeah, I think you just missed Schlittler.
That's good.
So, but you do. It's Elmer Rodriguez.
You missed a bullet, man.
Okay. The Yankees' number three prospect. He came up. He had an okay outing. He went 4+. His command, which was really highly touted in the minors, wasn't there. I mean, it's probably just nerves. It's his MLB debut.
Oh, this guy pitched against the Rangers yesterday.
Yes, yes. And Schlittler pitched the game before. So you do have to face Fried and Warren and Weathers, which is still nasty.
You talk about Ryan Weathers? Let's talk about Ryan Weathers.
Ryan
Let's
Weathers,
talk about Ryan Weathers.
He's an interesting – I've gone to two of his games, and both of them were pretty bad. I went to the game that he pitched in the Angels where it started out good, and then Mike Trout hit a home run, and then Soler hit a home run.
He gave up like three straight home runs.
He gave up back-to-back-to-back home runs. And, of course, the next game Max Langer goes to, and he sees a walk-off, and he's not even a Yankee fan. He's a Dodgers fan.
That's wild.
So that made me really angry. the Yankees losing 8-1, and then I don't even get to see the walk-off, but whatever. But, I mean, he hasn't been nearly the product that we got from the Marlins. He has shown flashes of being dominant, and he had a really good start where he got zero run support, which was a pretty constant thing for him. He just doesn't get run support. But, I mean, overall, the pitching for the Yankees is really good. And when the Yankees get Cole and Rodon back, it's going to be Fried, Schlittler, Cole, Rodon, Will Warren.
I'm not necessarily that worried about Rodon, but the other four are absolutely deadly.
Disgusting. Will Warren can be, I mean, he's not like a highly touted prospect. He was never really like highly touted. He's not like a dominant like one or two punch, but he could easily be a three or a four on a lot of teams. And when you have Ryan Weathers as your sixth starter and he's in the bullpen now, your starting pitching is pretty elite.
Fair enough.
So
I will say, not to cut you off,
I
will say, Cam Schlittler, in my opinion, the way I found out about him, the way probably most people found out about him, was the 2025 Wild Card Game 3 against the Red Sox just this past postseason, where the man went 8 innings, 12 strikeouts, I think maybe like 2 hits with 0 runs. After that, I was like, yo, who is this kid absolutely like dealing K's? Like, it's insane. I mean, that probably came out wrong, but like, he was literally like dealing K's like it was free. And I was like, yo, if he can keep this up, especially during the regular season, then the Yankees are going to be a force to be reckoned with if they get some other pitching help around him. But it seems like the postseason brings the best out in people.
Yeah. I'm looking at Will Warren's stats. Apparently, he was in Rookie of the Year voting last year.
He finished
8th. But the number that stands out to me right now, even though it's only 31 innings pitched for him, is the strikeout-to-walk ratio. And the higher that number is, the better, because obviously if you think of the fraction, you want the top number to be much bigger. So the strikeout number is much bigger. He's posting a 5.3 strikeout to walk ratio. And breaking that down, that's only 7 walks on the season for him right now, over 31 innings pitched. For a five man in that rotation to be doing that is
disgusting.
Incredible. The Yankees are sitting easy right now. We all know they have problems in the dog days with the run support. And I think, like, looking in as an Oriole fan to the Yankees fans community is you don't start to panic yet because the bats are still semi-hot.
Yeah.
But if they start to cool down, it's like that Yankee rut. They hit that rut and they can't break out of it until September, October. So they always get ahead. They're like 10 games above 500 or something. Yeah. And they'll keep that.
And then we hit June and then June and July,
and then your 500 ball club.
Yeah, June, July, and then we hit August, and we go on like a 10-game win streak, and then we fall another 10, and then September, it's like, all right, they can maybe do something in the playoffs, and then they lose in the DS or the CS.
For some reason, the AL East is so weak right now.
The
Rays are second. The O's are sitting under 500.
To be honest with you, the entire
American
League
is garbage.
There are 3 teams in the American League above 500. The New York Yankees at 20-11, the Tampa Bay Rays at 18-12,
and the Athletics.
And the A's at 16-14. The Guardians lead the Central at 16-16. The A's obviously lead the West. Behind them is the Mariners at 16-16. So, I mean, the entire American League, the worst team in the American League is the Astros right now. And
yep.
I mean, the whole entire American League is just so weak. And then if you move over to the National League, the Braves are at 22-9. The entire NL Central is above 500. The Pirates are at the bottom of the division, and they're 16-15. And then the West, the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Diamondbacks are all above 500.
Yeah, I mean, literally everything that you had just mentioned. The American League compared to the National League is terrible. It's not to put down the Yankees in any way, but if the Yankees were to get to the World Series, they'd have, like, a pretty easy path,
as you had just mentioned.
The National League, of course, like you said, you got the Braves. You also have a surprise team in the Reds, who are currently 19-11.
I'm still not buying on the Reds.
And everything you said with the Dodgers and the Padres. But the National League is literally like, it would be a bloodbath trying to get the pennant.
Yeah, which I think, I mean, if it continues this, obviously we're still in April, we're not even in May yet. If it continues like this, and the road in the American League is so easy, and the road in the National League is so difficult, the American League team that comes out of it is going to have such a huge advantage going into the World Series, being much more rested and just having such an easy road. But back to the National League, the Reds, I'm still not buying on them. They are 19-11. They still have a negative run differential. They're -5. They lost to the Rockies by like 10 yesterday. And the biggest reason why I don't like the Reds' chances right now is mainly because my friend is a Reds fan and I need to hate. But also, just, I mean, their offense is pretty atrocious. Ellie De La Cruz is having a very good season. Sal Stewart, obviously having her, that's his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really bad with names.
Yeah. You're good.
He's had a very good rookie season so far. But other than them, I mean, Eugenio Suarez, going back to Cincy, really hasn't done a whole lot. Like, their whole offense really hasn't done a whole lot. Their pitching has been very, very, very good. But
shout out Hunter Green.
Hunter Green's a dog. But
Hunter Green. Sorry.
I mean, Hunter Brown's on the Astros. Yeah. But I mean, I'm just not buying on them just yet. But another team that no one should be buying on, the New York Mets.
Oh my god.
Bottom of the National League East. They're 10-20. They came out of their 12 game losing streak.
It was 12.
They finally win a series. I believe they won the series against the Twins at home.
They won the series against the Twins.
And then the Rockies come to town and sweep them.
It's literally insane. I mean, it's kind of, and I'm going to speak very slowly for anybody that may be listening to this. The New York Mets, in my opinion, always find a way to basically, like, make the occasion just absolutely horrible. Remember last year at the start of the 2025 season, they were actually on top of the National League in terms of, like, aura and their record. like compared to last year, just like a few days ago, they were 9-19. At the same time last year, they were 19-9. Kodai Senga at the time had like a 1.47 ERA. And of course, the summer of 2025 happened and they went on a giant skid. And I believe that has carried over into the 2026 Major League Baseball season, in the sense of, you know, Lindor, absolutely great player, but at times he just looks lost out there. I mean, sometimes he doesn't know the amount of outs. Sometimes he messes up on, you know, routine ground balls, et cetera, et cetera. And pitching overall has been relatively solid, but
I don't know.
You know,
the pitching's been atrocious compared to what happened with the Nationals.
Yeah. Compared to what happened with the Nationals, sure, but like early on, pitching was necessarily like, you know, decent, but then that 12-game losing streak really took him out. So in an essence, I really do not know what is going on with the New York Mets. I don't know if it's morale. I don't know if it's something in the locker room, but something needs to be done.
I like, you have the bright shining star of McLean, who looks like a really young Garrett Cole in the Pirates.
WBC destroyer, Nolan McLean.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, but on the Mets, he's thriving right now. The run support, like, I think the spotlight is so on Lindor and all, like, he's looking so lost just because he's the only guy that has done anything.
Exactly.
Offensively. The team is batting .227 right now.
Yeah.
And, like, to be a decent team in the MLB, like, usually that number sits around .235, .240.
Wait a minute. You said .227?
.227 team batting average.
Your leader in batting average, at least qualified. It would be Juan Soto, but he doesn't have enough at-bats. He's at .327. But second is Bo Bichette at .236.
That is insane.
And his OPS is below .600.
Wow.
And on top of the batting is the fielding. Like Juan Soto, the outfield is a mess. It's a New York mess in the outfield.
Even Lindor.
It's a New York mess. I like that.
Even Lindor, like,
yeah.
His fielding hasn't.
Benj is in the outfield, and he can't hit. I mean, you got Tyrone Taylor is batting. He's probably like number two or three on the list right now for batting average. Why is Tyrone Taylor at leading your batting charts right now? Who do you even put in center field? Is
Luis Robert, but he just got hurt.
Robert, he just got hurt. Yeah.
So I mean, second on the qualified batting average is Marcus Semien at .226. Tied with him is Lindor at .226. Brett Beatty, Carson Benj, Luis Robert, and Francisco Alvarez. And then Mark Vientos doesn't have enough at ABs, but he's only at .236. Jorge Polanco has been horrible. Tyrone Taylor's at .234. Luis Torrens, the backup catcher, has been pretty bad. MJ Melendez has been good in limited ABs.
It's like they're throwing everything they've got to turn this around. Ethan, you're the Mets fan here. I have a question for you.
Yes.
What's the goal? Like, what's the turnaround goal? How are we getting out of this rut?
Well, I do remember 2 years ago, 2026 now, is 2024 then. The Mets at the start of the summer, at the start of June, were like 24-35. And Francisco Lindor, according to different reports that came out from MLB.com, et cetera, had a long conversation with the Mets team. For like, it was basically like a team meeting, as MLB.com described it. But I think for the Mets to get back on a winning track and bring some enlightenment and some aura back to Citi Field and back to Queens, you're probably going to need another meeting like that in order to converge, for lack of a better term, the chemistry and the bonds that may be broken right now. Because when the season started, it was like all smiles from these people. It was all smiles. The energy was there. You know, people were happy. You know, it looked like they were having relative fun out there, trying to track balls, et cetera, et cetera. But ever since that 12-game losing streak, it just has not been the same for the New York Mets across the board. And if they're is any hope to change that around, then they are going to have to, like, maybe bring another meeting of that magnitude. What they talk about within said meeting, I don't know what it is. I wouldn't want to know because it's probably, like, you know, very long and time-consuming, but you would need to have a meeting of that magnitude in order to necessarily bring about, you know, any sort of change or whatever.
And I don't even want to, like, rag on it too much, but at least, like, the AL East, or not the AL East, the AL teams that are struggling, like Boston and Kansas City and even the Orioles, like, there's some injuries there that are preventing them in a way of getting to where they want to be in the win percentage column. The Mets, like, other than Juan Soto just coming back and Luis Robert being out, like, they have pieces that should be performing well and they're not. And it doesn't come down to like sellers at the trade deadline yet. But if that's what it comes down to, that's a total bust in all the money they spent on Bo Bichette and Polanco.
Yeah, I was gonna say the issue.
But Steve Cohen, not to cut you off, Steve Cohen is worth like almost $25 billion. He can literally, like, blow as much money as he please. He has the money. The only problem is that you can spend all this money and the team still is, like, garbage, not to be too harsh, over a long period. But what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I was going to say the issues that are occurring with the Mets cannot be fixed by a trade deadline acquisition to bolster the team or some kind of trade or anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have to come from inside the clubhouse. Because as you said, your owner is worth however many billions. And
22 billion.
Signed all these players, and he's done all this to bring good players in, and yet they haven't performed. So bringing more players in, you know, you could sign Shohei Ohtani at this point. If you brought him to the Mets, it probably wouldn't fix the issues. Yeah. Bringing more people in and bringing in more expensive players isn't going to solve the Mets' woes. Up the problem and have like a story of, oh, the Mets signed this new huge player. The players that are already here that are worth so much and have been paid so much or are being paid so much need to perform. And when you have these players that are taking up $1 billion of your payroll and they're just not hitting, there's some internal issue or some internal struggle that needs to be fixed.
To someone can fact check me on this, but what is the Mets' current payroll? I think it's got to be north of like $340 million or something.
Because
I know we're second. I know the Dodgers is close to like, I think it's like $392 million. I think the Mets are next to like $340 million or something.
$379 million.
That the Mets are sitting at? Oh my God.
And just to put this into perspective on payroll, the Dodgers are one at $416 million, and they have a record of 20-11. The Yankees are third. They're at $338 million. And they're 20-11. The Mets are at 10-20 as a record, and between the 400 at $379 million. I mean, also a lot of these teams aren't performing either. Below them is the Blue Jays, and then the Phillies and the Red Sox. Neither of them are none of those three teams are playing well either.
Yeah, but most of the Phillies' increases in budget and in payroll have come from re-signing players. So
it's,
for example,
their team is very old.
Yeah, exactly. Like Schwarber is like 33, if I'm not mistaken, and Bryce Harper is gonna be 34 this year. But yeah,
I mean, yeah, the money is not gonna solve the Mets issues at this point.
Yeah,
it needs to be internal. And I mean, I don't 100% agree that the injuries haven't plagued the Mets, because Juan Soto is like, I mean, if Aaron Judge got hurt on the Yankees, I'm sure they would lose way more games. Or, I mean, Ben Rice at this point is probably the Yankees' best hitter so far this season.
Yes.
We can't say for the whole season just because Aaron Judge, he typically, I mean, I will never doubt Aaron Judge again, because in 2024 he had like the worst start to his career ever, and then he won the MVP.
Like
so,
58 home runs,
yeah,
right?
I'm never going to doubt him ever again. He could be 0-100, and I would be like, okay, Aaron Judge, he's gonna get hot at some point. But I mean, the Mets, they need some internal. I mean, even the players only meeting that Lindor had,
yeah,
didn't seem to do much.
Right,
you get swept by the Rockies, you're kind of at rock bottom. No offense.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it's just bad.
Yeah, I mean,
but on the other side of the NL East, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
The Braves have yet to lose 10 games. They have fewer losses than the Mets have wins. They have 9 losses. They're 22-9. They're, I wouldn't say far and away the best team in baseball, but they are by record. They have the best batting average as a team in baseball. They have the best ERA of any team in baseball. So they're hitting, they're pitching, they're hitting for power because they're the second best team by OPS. So, I mean, this team that greatly underperformed last season, a lot of their players had bad seasons. Matt Olson had a down year, not a horrible year for him, but a down year last year. Ozzie Albies had a horrible year. Ronald Acuna was injured all year. Austin Riley was hurt all year.
Wasn't.
I don't know if he's back yet.
Acuna wasn't injured all year. He came back in like June, if I'm not mistaken, of last year.
I believe he was hurt, right? I think he got hurt again, though.
Oh,
didn't
gotcha. Okay. Someone can fact check me
but
on
he's back now. But, I mean, a lot of their pitching, if I'm not mistaken, is still hurt. And they're still playing at such a high level. And I'm just it's very shocking the level that they're playing at.
The shining star on this team, Matt Olson, is fourth in OPS right now. And with the pitching behind him, like Reynaldo Lopez, and I think Iglesias is doing all right.
For sale.
Like, it's just good team building. Mm-hmm. And I think it's quite on the contrary of what the Mets have done. Like, you don't need that payroll.
Yeah.
You just need the pieces of the puzzle.
I 100% agree. I think the teams that have the Mets, they see a gold star on another team and grab that gold star. The Braves get a bronze star on their team. They sign them long-term for way less money than they could have later. That star eventually develops into silver or gold, and then they have this team that is built for so long because if you look at the contracts that the Braves have signed, they did bring in Matt Olson as a free agent or trade and signed him long-term after he played very well with the A's. But Austin Riley got a very big extension very early into his career. Acuna did as well. Ozzie Albies, I believe, did as well. A lot of their players played a couple years in Atlanta, got a very long-term deal that at this point for almost all of them is looking very, very good. And then they have this team that they can also go into the trade deadline and still pay some money because they have that money left over because they built their team so successfully.
Yeah, and in some ways what you were talking about, the silver, bronze, and gold analogy, they really, like you had said, like build their players up from, you know, like they said, you'll bring in a bronze star and then build them into silver and gold. But they do have a platinum star on their squad, and his name is Ronald Acuna Jr. Mm-hmm. And he was signed as a international free agent in 2014. So because of, you know, the Braves just sticking by him and kind of giving him a platform to feel welcomed and bring his talents, etc., they were able to get him past gold into the platinum category. In my opinion, platinum is reserved for like the best of the best. Your gold people, you know, they can be off from time to time, but they'll still give you consistency when you need it. Like, if you definitely need them to like be sustained for a long period of time, they'll give it to you. Your platinum stars will perform day in and day out regardless of what it is. And I think Acuna is that.
Absolutely. And the fact that he's been around for 12 years on this team now is kind of absurd. I think that's a cemented platinum star. I agree with you. And I think they have another one budding behind the dish.
Drake Baldwin,
yeah. He's fantastic. I was saying this earlier in the season. If I had to make a shot-in-the-dark MVP pick, I would take Drake Baldwin for the NL MVP. Just because, like, coming off that Rookie of the Year to MVP pipeline, you saw it with Gunnar Henderson. I think Aaron Judge did it.
Yep.
Shohei Ohtani.
I mean, Aaron Judge should have won both in the same year, but that's a different topic.
That's a different topic.
But, like, he's en route on that. I think it's a little different than Jacob Wilson. So, on the other hand, the pitching side of the Braves right now, Strider is back Sunday. So,
woo!
They're getting a bolster.
And their pitching's already the best
in
baseball.
It's kind of scary.
By the
way. Yeah. Go Braves, I guess.
Like, that's Bryce Elder leads them in innings pitched. He's got a 1.95 ERA. Chris Sale with a 2.31. Grant Holmes has been pretty good at near the bottom of the order, but, I mean, they have a lot of really good pitching that has been able to, I mean, but their offense is definitely the star of the show. Drake Baldwin's have a really good year. Matt Olson's had a really good year. Acuna's had a strange year. He's getting on base a lot. He's just not hitting for a lot of power. He's only got 2 home runs. So, I mean, we'll see the power eventually. He's also got 6 stolen bases. So he's definitely playing well, not like MVP kind of Ronald Acuna.
I think it's
Acuna.
That like contract fatigue that happens. Like, you get paid a lot. You kind of dip a little bit.
He's also torn his ACL twice.
Yeah, that does play a part. I think the Braves, like what we were saying, they have the puzzle pieces, and the fact that they're so hot right now is perfect because you have a power hitter, you have a contact hitter, you have speed, you have a bunt, you have a lot of good pitching, you have the power pitching, finesse pitching, you've got everything. And when the team is gelling, the team is gelling, and that's what's happening right now. The worst thing that could happen is for them to go cold. But with their record right now, if they go cold, I mean, it would still be wild.
Especially with the rest of the NL East being.
Yeah, they're sitting pretty right now.
It's April 30th. They're already 7 games up on the Marlins, who are in second, and the Marlins are 15-16.
I think the Marlins being in second is something we need to speak about.
I don't even think it's necessarily because the Marlins are that good. I just think the Mets and the Phillies, and obviously the Nationals, are just that bad.
Yeah.
Because the Marlins, they especially the beginning, they did play well. They came into New York, and they took 2 out of 3 from them. And I kind of, like, I thought they were being overrated because they played the White Sox and the Rockies, and everyone was really high on them. But they did show that they were a very good ball club. And, I mean, they've been playing worse. They're much better at home than they are away. They're very bad on the road. But they're not a horrible ball club, and I think they're better than a lot of people thought they would be.
Yeah. I mean, Lone Depot Park is nothing special. So
I've been there. I hate that park. It's so ugly.
Really?
It's so ugly. It's like really dirty. It's really ugly. If you don't go to Miami, just don't.
In some ways, this is just an opinion, but Miami is not that big on baseball, despite, you know, being 90 miles away from a baseball-crazed country in Cuba.
I just don't think that they're high on sports. I think Miami is not for sports. I think it's for Miami things.
Yeah. Just like gambling
They were in their peak when they had Giancarlo Stanton. MVP
oh, absolutely.
Stanton,
and then that team wasn't that good.
Yeah, and after he left it. I mean, they had a playoff run.
Also, their ballpark was much better. They had the giant Marlin in center field.
That was so cool.
Their colors were better. I prefer the orange over the blue.
I agree.
The throwbacks, I like the throwbacks, like the light blue. I like those. But the original, like the normal orange from like when Giancarlo Stanton was on the team, much better.
Yeah.
Also, Giancarlo Stanton playing in the outfield and playing good defense is something that I wish I could see as a
Him and his youth was awesome.
Awesome.
But to stay in the NL East, we've talked about the top. We talk about the bottom. Let's stay on the bottom, the Phillies. They're my team that I've picked that was supposed to be very, very good, and they've been very, very bad. Their pitching is bad. Their offense is bad. Kyle Schwarber has 9 homers, but he's batting 190. They just came off they lost 2 out of 3 to the Cubs, the back two. Then they got swept by the Braves, swept in 4 by the Cubs, and then lost another to the Braves. So that's 10 in a row they lost. They lost the series eventually to the Braves after taking the middle game. They're playing the Giants now. They won the first game pretty confidently, but, I mean, this team was expected to be at the end of their they're an old team. They're expected to be at the end of their run of playoffs and World Series chances, but, I mean, they weren't expected to fall off like this, and they were expected to have 1 or 2 more years of greatness and near the top of their division, but this is just not at all what anyone expected.
I mean, but also in some ways, I think you brought it up. The Phillies are an old team. Like, they are relatively old in terms of age. Like, their two biggest stars, in my opinion. Schwarber is, I think, 33, and Bryce Harper also is 33. How much longer are they going to be swinging the bat with authority and hitting over, you know, 250 for the rest of their careers?
Well, Schwarber hasn't hit over 250 for about 5 years now.
Exactly.
But, I mean,
but he hits bombs.
He's such an anomaly. Like, he hits 56 home runs last year, second in MVP voting, and is leading the league in 132 RBIs. And now, like, he bats 240 last year. Now he's batting 190. Like, he's the streakiest hitter ever. With him aging, it's just not worth the contract or the money. Yeah. Like, I just That's totally my opinion, because any other ownership could be like, well, we need a streaky power hitter like Kyle Schwarber just to fill at first base or DH. But it's like, what is his benefit? Like, what is?
And then also, not to mention, Zach Wheeler's 35.
Trey Turner's also getting older. They just signed Adolis Garcia to play right field, and he's just not the same as when he won the World Series with the Rangers. Alec Bohm has literally been the worst hitter in all of baseball. Brandon Marsh has been pretty good, but he's also Brandon Marsh. JT Realmuto is getting old.
They just paid him, but he's all right.
Yeah. Right, I mean, like, this team is very – they're at the end of their time. But, I mean, Christopher Sanchez has been good. Aaron Nola has been horrible. Jesus Luzardo has been horrible. Taiwan Walker has been horrible. Their starting pitching has been really, really bad, except for Christopher Sanchez. And even then, he's not at the same level that he was at when he was second, I believe, in Cy Young voting to Paul Skeens last year. He's got nearly a 3 ARA, which isn't bad by any means.
Nope.
But not the dominance that we saw last season. But, I mean, there's really just not a good part of this Phillies team.
And, like, we're all outsiders looking in at the Phillies, and I think we can all agree that there's just no more hype for this team. Like, they had that hype in 2019 and even 21.
And 22 when they went to the World Series.
But then they made the World Series, and then after that, they've, like, they make the playoffs, and they win an easy division.
It's like, okay, they're perennial playoff team that loses.
Yeah,
it's like, okay.
Well, I was gonna say it. You didn't have to say it though. Well, how about the Orioles? They lose 100 and they make the playoffs,
well,
and then
they
lose 90.
Playoff losing streak. So we're gonna have to turn that around.
That is true. I didn't even think about it. That is true.
How many runs did you score against the two Royals games you played?
I think three.
That's. Ooh. Anyway.
Anyways.
Sorry to dog on you a little
bit.
It's
okay. I'm so used to it.
I mean, the Orioles they're in the middle of the division. The Blue Jays and the Red Sox were expected to be much better than they have been.
Again, like, I think these AL teams that are slow right now are just riddled with injury and cold streaks, and it just, once they're healthy and they hit like a win or two, then they get their foothold and you see a normal AL East.
Or they're Jazz Chisholm and they can't play in the cold.
That's he's an anomaly too. I really don't. Let's talk about the NL Central before we wrap it up. They're all above 500 right
now.
Yeah,
I mean, insane.
Probably the toughest division in baseball.
Yeah, it's turned into the AL East as the NL Central now, and like they're just like the Braves. Like, they have the pieces of the puzzle, and they win games that they need to win. My pick right now is the Pirates. I just love watching them. I know they're at the bottom of the division, even though they're 16-15. But Bubba Chandler had a great night last night. Paul Skeens is finding his rhythm. They're figuring it out in the outfield. I think O'Neill Cruz is, you know, turning on a little. But Connor Griffin's settling in nicely. They got Jared Triolo behind them. Like, I don't see a universe where this team doesn't at least contend for the wild card spot. And I just the NL Central it'll be finicky, because, you know, they have the Reds, who I think we all agree aren't what people think they are. Like, I think they're just posers right now. The Cubs and the Cardinals are definitely good, and the Brewers have yet to find something, so it's going to be a tough division.
And then, not to mention, the Brewers were just in the National League Championship Series where they got swept, but yeah.
I mean, that whole division is just, I don't know, I just think a lot of them are posers. Because the Cardinals and the Reds both have a negative run differential, which I know run differential isn't the end-all be-all, but, I mean, it means quite a bit. The Pirates just lost 4 in a row, so taking that out, they were 16-11. The Reds, I just don't know.
Like,
I think
Jordan Walker is the highlight player.
Definitely.
That's about it.
And I think PCA has shown that his peak is already over, and it was about half a season.
Streaky guy.
Yeah, very. I mean, he had a horrible defensive play in center, if you remember when they were in LA.
Yeah.
That was bad. But we talked about the Pirates and the Phillies. Ethan, I know you had a team that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
What team did you pick?
It was the Chicago Cubs. And
more NL Central. Gotcha.
Yes, more NL Central.
It's a war zone.
Yes, it literally is. And in some ways, I kind of knew that the Chicago Cubs would essentially be the, you know, sort of a wild card team, especially given their, you know, kind of their nature from last year, like almost beating the Brewers in the NLDS, which hypothetically, if you beat the Brewers in the postseason, you're supposed to go to the World Series. The Mets broke that streak 2 years ago. But in some ways, they've like absolutely turned it on this year. Like, let me just read you something. If you're looking at current statistics, they're third in batting average, fourth in home runs, fourth in runs batted in, third in most hits in the league, obviously. They're leading in pitching wins at 19. No, they're number four in pitching wins, I'm sorry, at 19. And they are also... Oh, never mind. I can't brag on that. But I was going to say they were they're 21st in saves, which probably haven't had a whole lot of opportunities. But if you look at just where the Cubs are sitting right now, they look like they are a force to be reckoned with, and that not only just the National League, but the American League should take seriously.
I mean, I agree with that. But, I mean, some of their acquisitions, some of their key players have not been playing super well. Alex Bregman has been playing fine. PCA is getting all of his value from his defense and center. His hitting has just not been it at all. Dansby Swanson's been pretty good. Ever since he really signed with the Cubs after leaving the Braves, he really has not been that good with them. Nico Horner is being Nico Horner. okay, that's a good thing. That's a compliment.
Oh,
but
okay.
Their pitching, I just don't see as being able to go that deep, especially when your like top three includes Jameson Taillon. No offense to Jameson Taillon, not a great one or two punch. Shohei Imanaga is having a pretty good year so far. Edward Cabrera as well, but I just don't trust the back half of their starting pitching, and I don't trust their bullpen whatsoever.
Fair enough.
But I mean, this is a really good segue. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, of course.
Mason Miller allowed his first two runs of the season to the Cubs.
So
on
sad.
A pretty controversial play. Matt Shaw of the Cubs hit a dribbler down the line, and it was picked up by Ty France at third on what he thought was a foul ball. It was ruled a fair ball, which is unreviewable. Ty France was heated.
And it was obviously foul.
It was.
That's
if
crazy.
You look at the replay, it was pretty obviously foul. It just led to, I believe it was a Dansby Swanson single that brought in a run, and then a wild pitch brought in the second run. The Padres were up, I think, 4 or 5, so they ended up getting the win either way. It was a non-save situation. But either way, Mason Miller is now at a disgustingly high 1.1 ERA, 1.17.
And his FIP, his fielding independent pitching.
Is it not negative anymore?
It's still negative.
It's still negative?
It's negative 0.08 now.
Okay, it's like zero.
It's pretty much zero, but still, he doesn't need fielders behind him.
That's insanity.
It's awesome. His whip is 0.5 right now.
I mean, his strikeout per nine is 17.
As long
17.
As this guy stays
Wait,
out of the
strikeout
AL.
Per nine is 17.
Yes,
this dude walks.
That would be a record
out.
If the yeah. season concluded today.
Also, mm-hmm. his strikeouts per walks. So he every single time 10. He walks a batter, he strikes out 10.
Yeah,
like
wow.
That's I mean it's insane. If anyone would ever be, especially in this day and age, a reliever to win a Cy Young,
it's gotta
it
be.
Would
gotta
be Mason,
Mason
Miller.
Who, last one was Rivera, right?
I don't think Rivera ever won a Cy Young. I think it might have been Goose Gossage, if I'm not mistaken.
The last one was 2003. It was Eric Gagne.
Eckersley in 92, Raleigh Fingers in 81, and Bruce Sutter in 79.
Emmanuel Clase finished third in 2024, and then he was found to be gambling. but if you ignore the gambling. I mean, if you look at Mason Miller's Baseball Savant page, if you know what Baseball Savant is, it's like, you know, a value of all the values. It is literally all red.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all like 100 percentile.
That's awesome.
Expected ERA, 100 percentile. Expected batting average, 100 percentile. Fastball velo, 100 percentile. Average exit velocity, 97th percentile. Chase percent, whiff percent, K percent, walk percent, barrel percent, hard hit percent, ground ball percent. So not only does he strike everyone out, when he doesn't strike someone out, it's hit on the ball and it's hit on the ground and it's not hit very hard.
Crazy.
So, like, it's... and. According to Baseball Savant, his fastball is not even his best pitch. It's his breaking stuff that's really.
Yeah, I was going
to. Oh, yeah.
I was going to comment on that. His pitch tunneling, if his arm slots like that 3/4, if you see, like, his fastball's got a little bit of arm side run, and his splitter comes out of the same way, just drops on you. And I'm pretty sure he throws a slider too.
Yeah.
So you're looking in and three his slider's different disgusting. Spots, and not even one of them straight. I don't know. It's 100 miles per hour.
I mean, when you throw like 103 miles an hour on like a first pitch, like before you strike someone out, and then you break it off with a slider at like, let's say, 90 to 89 miles an hour, that will mess with a hitter's head. That will definitely mess with a hitter's head because you're not expecting it to break that hard.
Everything about his game is mental right now. His walkout song being corn, it's scary.
His walkout song is corn? I didn't even know that.
If you look at the lowest FIPs and highest K rates in history, the lowest FIP ever recorded in a season is 0.78 by Craig Kimbrell in 2012.
Wow.
Mason Miller's is, again, negative 0.07.
Was that Kimbrell with the Braves?
Yes.
Okay.
The highest strikeout rate in all of MLB history for a season is Aroldis Chapman on the 2014 Reds when
it was like 1650, if I'm not mistaken, or something crazy.
52.5%.
Gotcha.
Which is still disgusting.
52.5. I thought she was doing like strikeouts per nine innings.
No. Yeah. His strikeout percentage. He strikes out more than half of his batters.
Yeah.
Mason Miller's is at 53.7.
Woo!
So not only is he in the negatives for FIP, which would be high and away, the lowest FIP ever, his K percent is the highest ever recorded, at least. If it keeps up for the rest of the season.
I think bottom line, if he keeps up this numbers for the rest of the season, he's history.
Absolutely. I mean, unless Paul Skeens decides to throw like three no-hitters or something. But, I mean, I'm looking back, Eric Gagne, the last reliever to win a Cy Young with the 2003 Dodgers, 0.86 was his FIP that year.
Wow.
And, again, Mason Miller is a negative, which is like... There's nothing to say about that. Like, it's just disgustingly good.
It's insane.
And without Mason Miller, the Padres' bullpen has been nasty for the better part of a couple years. Mm. With Mason Miller at the end of it, it's far and away the best. It's got to be far and away the best bullpen in all of baseball. It has to be. Robert Suarez is in there, too. They have a knuckleballer. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You have every pitcher imaginable in that bullpen, and it's disgusting. There's no other word to describe it.
Big time.
And that's allowed the Padres to, what are they, 19-11, I think?
19-11, yeah.
And they're second, they're half a game, one game behind the Dodgers right now. If any team's going to try and catch the Dodgers, I mean, the Braves already have a better record than them, obviously, different division. The Padres could put up a fight. Their only problem is right now their hitting hasn't been that good. Mostly because Fernando Tatis, playing, I think, in his 30th game soon, doesn't have a homer. He's hitting the ball harder than he ever has.
But he doesn't have a homer.
Yeah, the only problem is he's always hitting it on the ground or hitting it on a line, and he's really not getting ahead of anything. He's pulling almost nothing. He's hitting everything the other way.
Hmm.
So Fernando Tatis yet to hit a homer. The Padres' offense has been, it's still been not horrible, but it could have been better. I mean, the pitching is really holding them together.
Right.
So, we might see a Cy Young from a reliever.
I'm not sure how they calculate this, but his game entering leverage index is 1.52, which means his average times he comes into a game is high pressure.
Wow.
So, not only is he posting these numbers, but he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders doing it.
I mean, as the closer, if you watch the Yankees at all, I'm trying to bring up a reference and I can't remember his name.
Who are you thinking?
It's a reliever and he got mad at the Yankees for making him be in low leverage situations. He was a reliever on the Yankees. His dad was on the team. He kind of stank. He's on the A's now. But anyway.
Leiter?
Yes. Thank you. Mark Leiter Jr.
Mark Leiter.
He complained about the Yankees not bringing him into high leverage situations. Which a lot of relief pitchers, they want the high leverage. They want the stress because it helps them pitch better. The irony of that is he still sucks on the A's, even though he's in high leverage situations.
No,
but a lot of pitchers can benefit from being in high leverage situations, mostly relievers, mostly closers. So, I mean, Mason Miller seems to feed on it. But to end our show, I want to highlight probably the best hitter in the American League, the best hitter in all of baseball right now. It's not Ben Rice.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say
not Aaron Judge. It's Yordan Alvarez.
Yes.
He was hurt last year, so he only had 200 plate appearances, and he had a very down year in those plate appearances. But so far this year, he's batting 355, getting on base 46% of the time, slugging over 700, so his OPS is basically 1,200.
And doesn't he have, like, at least 13 home runs?
11.
11,
which
heard.
which leads MLB, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
He, the first nosebleeds of the season I was on, and we did predictions, like way too early predictions, and he was my MVP pick.
You know what? I'm proud of you. Good job.
You know what, Henry? I'm going to listen to you more then.
I mean, his baseball savant page is disgusting. Obviously, he's not a good base runner because he's a big dude, and obviously he's a DH, so he doesn't field. But regardless, he is still extremely valuable to any team. His stats are off the chart. And the most important thing as a lefty is to be able to hit lefties. And in his career, across all lefties, has either the third or the fourth highest batting average lefty on lefty in all of MLB history.
Where with are the you likes getting of this each stat from?
ESPN.
Oh, heard.
With the
okay.
like with he's next to Ichiro and Barry Bonds.
Wow.
And that's batting average. That's
April.
Not even like slugging.
We're still in April.
We are still in April. We're
we
not
are
even
still
in May.
In April. We're not even into May.
But I mean, this is over his career though. This isn't like a season stat. This is his entire career.
He doesn't strike out either.
He doesn't strike out. He walks. He hits for power. Normally, power hitters sacrifice contacts. Like Aaron Judge, his strikeout percentage is nearly a quarter of the time. Stanton, obviously, Ohtani, even. He doesn't strike out. He doesn't whiff. He makes good contact almost every single time. And he walks a ton. He takes his walks. His K percentage is 8%. His walk percentage is 15%. He has 11 homers. He's, like, easily, far and away, one of, if not the best hitters in all of baseball.
Yeah.
Especially as a lefty doing so much damage against lefties. His batting average against lefties is, like, 320 in his career.
Wow.
Which is, like, insanity, because lefty-lefty is not easy.
Yeah, his expected on-base percentage, the xBOBA, is also 535, which is, I mean, that means
that's,
he's barreling the ball.
That's like, disgusting.
He's hitting the ball hard.
It's like Mason Miller, but on the other side. Like,
that's a good one.
And he's the only reason the Astros are somewhat good. The pitching for the Astros has been abysmal. The offense has been pretty good. Because of Yordan.
Of Yordan, yeah.
So, I mean, the Astros, hopefully their dynasty is finally over. Like, please go away.
It's been over.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It's been over.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cheaters
God.
Be gone.
Thank
Cheaters
God.
Be gone.
But.
That was almost 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah. 2017, but yeah.
So long ago.
Thank God. But I think that will finally do it for us today at a wonderful time. Talking baseball with Ethan and Henry. I appreciate you guys being here and having your insight from a weird Orioles fan and a weird Mets fan, but whatever. I'm Derek Bullier, and I'm saying see ya from WFAV inside the studio. I appreciate you all listening to us today, and we will see you next time on the Nosebleeds podcast.